502, your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler, with Chris Raunchy and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter, and let's head to the Brown & Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Craig Mish of Sports Grid. You can follow him at Craig Mish. He focused on the Marlins, got a podcast. And Craig, thank you for joining us. I'm sure you've kept tabs on what's going on with the Cardinals right now. You have been keeping tabs on the Marlins. What's the latest with them, and do you get a sense that the Marlins will be back in action this week?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've actually been keeping tabs on both teams, ironically. How weird is that? But, I think I have some experience speaking to what the Cardinals are going to go through right now. It's really unfortunate. It does seem that some mistakes were made on both sides, Miami side, potentially St. Louis side, for sure. But the good news is from this is I could tell you that there is going to be light at the end of this tunnel. And I do believe that the Cardinals are going to play baseball again. I can't tell you when, I can't tell you if or how, but they will play. I've seen this play out with the Marlins, and they're going to play tomorrow night, and things got better. It took a while, and I think the same thing is on deck here for the Cardinals.
Well, Craig, walk us through it from the players and the staffers that were tested positive, because just like the Cardinals, this happened for them on the road. What does the timeline look like for these individuals? Have they been just in hotels the entire time? Have they been able to make it back home? I mean, what does this look like for them?
Sure. Here's what you can expect. So when the Marlins started having the positive, really rash of positive tests come up, it was essentially on opening day, the day after opening day. So that was Thursday night when the Nationals played the Yankees. And so the Friday of the first game when the Marlins were in Philadelphia, that was their first positive test. That came from a test that was done the previous Wednesday. And the expectation is at this point, the player who tested positive initially could have been even happening even before they played their exhibition games in Atlanta. So you're circling back days before that. And so once all of the positive tests came in, they basically quarantined the Marlins for a few days. You'll remember the commissioner going on TV on a Monday night saying the Marlins were going to play on Thursday against the Orioles, which obviously didn't happen. And they basically missed a full week of games. Now, look, baseball is sort of learning as they go with this. There's no definitive plan. But if I had to guess, I would guess that the Cardinals are going to be out a week. And then they're going to return with a lot of players from their alternate site camp and players that you probably aren't on the team right now or players you haven't even heard of. That seems to be what baseball is this year.
Yeah, so the Cardinals had the seven players positive, and what we've heard is that they are out for at least 8 days, that they can't come back, but maybe the other guys who are asymptomatic and are testing negative, that they will be able to come back a whole lot sooner. So are we talking like 8 days from now? Or are we talking like 8 days from the first day they missed? Do we know exactly?
I doubt that timeline is accurate. That does not sound right at all. I think that the players that tested positive on the Cardinals are going to be out a week or two minimum, and they have to test negative twice before they're even allowed back on the field. And remember, this isn't a situation like Juan Soto where one guy kept testing positive and maybe even false positive. You have an outbreak on the team. So from the press conference that we had today with the Marlins, I don't think it appears that any of the Marlins players that tested positive already 7 or 8 days ago are coming back until the 14th of August. So that's going to put them out almost 20 days. So I know that's like an optimistic timeline to sound. I would be very prepared to have at least a half a dozen to a dozen players on the Cardinals that are from the alternate campsite and are from other teams.
Craig Mish is joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. What are the complications with that, Craig? When you're going to the taxi squad or you're looking around right now, from a MLBPA standpoint, are there any potential issues there?
Yeah, there's some 40-man issues because you got to shuffle guys in and out and you have to select players. But I'm not clear how they're handling the Marlins. They may be a little bit more lax with that. I haven't heard that yet. Miami selected two players to their 30-man roster that were on their 40-man. And remember, they have a total of 60 that are in that alternate camp. And so they are essentially, quote, starting the clock on two players that they wouldn't have started. And I would expect the Cardinals to do the same. I know Dylan Carlson is a name out there, and I'm sure that you'll see him. You're going to see players. And again, I don't know the specifics of who's in and who's out for the Cardinals, so I want to be clear on that. But, you know, those the prospects that we've always talked about, you know, Nolan Gorman and Libitor and some of these other guys, it's very possible that you're going to be seeing them. I don't know what John Mozeliak's plan is, if the plan is to fight and call up the most talented, or is it to, you know, sign these mercenaries that are, you know, free agents or waivers. It's very possible that the Cardinals could be picking up the same players that the Marlins are cutting next week.
Wow. Craig, do teams have the ability, if they want to just say, no, we're just going to keep waiting. We're going to wait for these guys to be back and available, as opposed to utilizing that taxi squad? To me, I mean, it seems crazy because you have a taxi squad there for a reason. But for all the reasons that you're just talking about players that you might not want to lose, I mean, do they have the ability to do so? Or does the league just say, no, you have enough people, you're good to go?
Yeah, it's unprecedented. I don't know how they're going to handle Miami's situation or St. Louis. I know a few players of the Marlins taxi squad had the virus, so they can't even use those guys. It was dipping deeper into their player pool. And by the way, you know, on top of that, the teams in Miami and St. Louis, I mean, we don't know how deep this is going to go for St. Louis. But for Miami, what they did is they signed a lot of players, but not all of them are going to Miami, or in this case, Baltimore. What they're doing is they're going to their alternate site camp just to be backups to the guys that were called up. And they signed a player from the Sugarland Skeeters yesterday, who I've never heard of before. And I look up his numbers, and he's a hitter, but they say he's a pitcher. So I don't know. But he's going to Jupiter. He's going to Roger Dean, right? So he's going to hang out there. And if something else happens, then they have a chance to maybe use him. But at least from my understanding, and I'm sure the Cardinals will go about this the same way, if it does get a lot worse, and we don't know, is that the Marlins' tact has been they're only signing players that have been waived or were in the summer camp. They are not going out there. And so I know people will speculate and they'll say, why don't they just go sign Jose Bautista or, you know, some guy who's used to be a good hitter at one point. I mean, pitchers and hitters have to be ready right now to face big league pitching. And so somebody on a video somewhere right now is probably not going to be ready to throw big league innings. They have to have some sort of camp. This is why a lot of the waived guys and DFA guys are on the Marlins roster right now.
So we don't know exactly what happened with the Cardinals. We know that John Mozeliak said the transmission or whatever happened, the virus was contracted here in St. Louis before they went on the road. So it wasn't they were on the road and went to a casino kind of thing. It wasn't right. Anything like that, according to him. And we don't know exactly, but that's what we're being told at the moment. And we had heard for a couple of weeks now that there were Marlins players that went out in Atlanta, and they contracted it, and they brought it back to the rest of their team. And Derek Jeter apparently was not happy with that characterization. So what exactly did happen, and how did it happen with Florida?
Okay, well, I can only go by what the Marlins are telling us from the investigation and from what I've heard, and there isn't a single person who told me that they went to any strip club or any club or anything like that. The Marlins are simply saying, yes, a couple of guys went out, but it was not to do anything salacious or nothing egregious. It was just to go do stuff. Now, in terms of our judgment of that, I would leave that up to everybody listening or you guys. I mean, you decide for yourself. Me? Yeah, they probably should have had somebody on site there to just keep them from doing anything to get through this baseball season. Yes, I totally agree with that. But as far as breaking rules, it seems like they were lax. They did not get fined. They're asking them to continue playing on Tuesday. So I'm not sure how bad it could have been. In terms of the casino, that I've seen the same reports and heard the same things. By the way, I was the one that reported that the Cardinals had the positive test on Saturday here. So I can tell you this. The casino, while it is bad judgment, in my mind, it is irrelevant to the coronavirus conversation. It is basically, to me, collateral damage for somebody, unfortunately, getting the virus and everyone scrutinizing and taking a closer look at the Cardinals, just like they did with the Marlins and just like they could do with 25 other teams in baseball. And I'm not indicting any Major League Baseball team. I am quite sure that there are a lot of teams that are going straight to their hotel, in their room, and are not going out. But I find it hard to believe that these are the only two that had a little misstep here. So I think that it is impossible to trace. It's impossible to know. I feel bad for the Cardinals, just like I feel bad for the Marlins. But the bottom line is that this thing is so contagious, it was bound to happen once teams went on the road and they were not protected at home. It was unavoidable, and that's where we're at.
Hey, Craig, we were having the conversation earlier about just gearing back up after however long the layoff ends up being, and certainly that's going to be some of your guys from the taxi squad, some of your guys that the test came back negative, but I am interested with the Marlins, from just a sheer baseball standpoint, what have these guys, if anything, what have they been able to do?
Nothing. They take a sock and throw a ball in their room, or they did Zumba. They had one workout today. This is why it's so interesting that the difference in the two franchises, you know, with the Marlins who are trying to build themselves back up to being a contender with the Cardinals who were a contender every year. It's like now that it happened to the Cardinals, it's like, wait, this is so serious. But until, and I don't release names of players that, you know, got the virus. And so, you know, we're not going to know until they place guys on the injured list. But I suppose that will really tell the story, I think, for the Cardinals for the rest of the season, because I don't think that any team can afford to be 7 or 8 games under 500 late in September. There's just no time to catch up. And so if they're missing significant players on their team, it isn't really a matter of the Cards making the postseason. It's a matter of just getting 55 games in this year. That's really it.
Okay, so what is the deal with that? If it turns out that one team is just totally incapable of making up all the games and they end up with, you know, like 52 games played, whereas teams who are going to make the postseason are playing upwards of 58, 59, 60 games, there is an issue of fairness there. Is there going to be a threshold of amount of games teams have to play in order for their win percentage to put them in the postseason?
We haven't been given any clarity on that at all, and the Marlins have not been told that there is a plan for them to make up all the games that they've missed. So I don't know in terms of competition where this gets to at the end of the year if they decide that some games need to be made up. I find that hard to believe. But we have no clarity on that. I would only be speculating. I've heard discussions on winning percentage, but then you're hurting the balance of a team that had to play 8 games more. Let's say Miami gets to 52 and St. Louis gets to 54 or something like that. It's still not enough. So there is no answer for me on that one, and I don't think baseball's provided one either.
Craig, great stuff. We kept you long enough, but we love the insight. Thank you for joining us. Give Craig Mish a follow on Twitter, @CraigMish. He broke the news over the weekend about the Cardinals' positive test, and he just joined us here in the Fast Lane. Craig, thank you.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Same. It's our pleasure. Thank you. That's, again, Craig Mish, @CraigMish, Sports Grid, and Marlins Podcast.